Again, welcome to the increasingly inaccurately titled The Weekly Squeak. This episode, I'm going to do something a little different. It matches a blog post I actually wrote about a week ago, so it's getting even a little bit out of whack. I'll try to get back on schedule after this. But this relates to an article I wrote on The Weekly Squeak on Medium about developer health. And instead of me just repeating and discussing some of what I spoke about, I've actually got two interviews with two other people who I have seen in the past few months talk about the same topic but in different ways. So, something a little bit different. And first, I'm going to be speaking to Steve Tauber, and he's going to talk about posture and looking after your physical health. And then I'm going to be talking to Marin Todorov, who's going to be talking more about, I guess, looking after yourself in a kind of holistic way, mental health, physical health, and how it all relates, and some stories from his life that led him to these decisions. So, we'll see how that works. It's the first time I've tried it, so I apologize for any audio quality and things like that. And happy belated Easter, if you believe in that sort of thing. And I'll see you next week, or next installment, I think we should say. Okay, enjoy.
I'm speaking to Steve Tauber, who's in Zagreb in Croatia. I met Steve briefly at a conference last year where he did a lightning talk on posture and looking after your back for developers specifically, which ties kind of nicely into the general topic we've been talking about in this podcast. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, Chris. I'm a developer in the United States, and recently I've moved into project management. I moved to Croatia 2 years ago, and about 3 or 4 years ago, I had a microsurgery where I had two cortisone shots injected into my thigh, and this was due to an accident I had playing sports about 6 or 7 years ago.
So you didn't necessarily have any, for some strange reason, I had some weird thought that you were a physio or something, but it's just more from personal experience and wanting to do better yourself and help other people.
Definitely. I'm not a doctor.
Was the surgery consequence of bad posture, I guess?
Not a consequence of bad posture, but it definitely compounds the problems that I have. Many developers and many people that work at a desk don't often get up enough or don't necessarily strengthen those back muscles. Your core, your abdomen and your back muscles are responsible for keeping your spine protected when you're moving. And because we sit at desks, this is not something the human body was really designed for evolutionarily. And so over time, those muscles weaken and expose us to greater risk.
Is there something specific to kind of working in development type jobs that can make it worse? Or really, is everyone having a sedentary job these days just as bad, but it just happens to be the community that we focus on?
I think for developers, it's a little bit different than working a normal desk job. If you work in an office, many times you're getting up, walking around, and discussing things with coworkers. Developers usually sit at their desk and they focus on a piece of code. And for me, I oftentimes lose complete sense of time. I forget to stand up and sometimes even forget to eat. And I won't switch positions for, sometimes 4 or 5 hours in a row. This is very bad. Smokers actually have a little bit of a benefit here because they get up every 45 minutes or every hour. Of course, there's also negative health consequences from that.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's a certain irony. I've noticed that with some of the guys I work with, and two of them always used to get up and go smoking, and they both quit smoking, and now they hardly ever get up.
Yeah.
Which is a certain irony there.
And the question is, have they actually gained weight from that as well? Because, that's another situation where having that extra weight is just more pressure on your joints. And, if you have a little bit of a gut, your body can deal with it. But if it's excessive, you're putting all this weight forward on your system. So your hips have to deal with it too.
So I guess my first kind of specific question around your area of passion. We won't say expertise, but your area of passion. Do you have any advice to developers just to not get stuck into those 4-hour lacks of losing track of time? Or is it just a part of the job and you have to make yourself better in other ways? Or would you be more on the side of saying, hey, you can get up every hour, you're not going to lose the plot?
I think that it is a challenge for developers because we have to create an internal tracking of the system that we're working on, especially if the systems are complex. There's a comic that I've seen where there's a guy and he's a developer and he starts imagining the code and the equations and he builds up this huge cloud in his imagination. And then someone drops by his desk and says, hey, I have a quick question. And the cloud disappears in a poof. And then he has to start over again. And I think distractions are a problem for developers. There's some time techniques, for instance, the Pomodoro technique, where you are dedicated for just a narrow window of time of complete focus. I think if developers are using a system like that, then it's possible to just realize that during your break time, you need to just go and stand up. I don't really see other ways around that. Maybe set a timer or something like that.
So what do you, how do you feel about things like standing desks and walking desks? My impression so far has been that doing anything the same for a long period of time is not necessarily that good for you, and it's more about the variety. But how do you feel about some of those alternatives?
So standing desks, recently there are a couple articles that came out and said standing desks really don't give you the benefits that doctors thought. But doctors are changing their minds on these all the time. You know, sometimes you'll see an article that says sitting down at a desk is equivalent to smoking a pack a day. Or you'll see another article that says it's fine if you sit down. And there's just not much consensus here. I think the biggest thing is if you have a variety in the positions you're working in, you won't get stressed. Your body won't get stressed out too much. So I like to stand up from time to time. Sometimes when I'm working from home, I'll lie on the couch for a half an hour and then go back and sit at the desk. And that's something that if you have an office space that allows this variety, I think overall you'll see a less damage to your body. The most important thing, though, is just having, in general, a healthy weight. And more importantly, if you go to the gym, you need to spend some time exercising your back and exercising your core.
Coming back to some of that more practical stuff in a minute, I'm just interested, why do you think the medical profession is so undecided on this topic? Is it just that we don't have the long-term evidence yet? Or, I don't know, are there other agendas? Or
No, I think it's just a lack of data. With most medical studies, you know, there's only a few groups in the world focusing on one particular area, unless it's something like cancer research or, you know, communicable diseases. So, you know, someone will do research and file a paper, and it takes time to have a group peer review those and then file their publication. So it is a longer process. I think that's actually something that technology will start to solve sooner than later. But as of now, we're still have very a slow cycle on validating medical research.
Okay. So first kind of bit of advice from you, in my mind, I feel like this is actually the simpler area, is what sort of, do you recommend any particular exercises for strengthening your back and your core?
Definitely. During my lightning talk, actually, I went through a lot of simple exercises that you can do at your desk. The biggest thing you can do actually is stretch. Stretching is, if you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should be doing is stretching a little bit. You only need to spend a couple minutes doing it and you'll see results from that. When we're sitting at the desk, one problem we also have is that our hamstrings are in the same position all day. So if you focus on your legs and getting those in the proper if you focus on your legs and you get them in proper shape, that will help create a base for your spine to be healthy. Everything's connected.
Would you count bike riding as adequate for getting your legs in proper shape?
Bike riding is definitely good. It's something that I enjoy myself. And you have to make sure your bike is the proper size. If your bike is too small, then you can obviously have a lot of damage to your knees there.
So actually the one question I've been asked a couple of times when I've done the presentation and had this conversation, and one I've never really been able to answer because I'm pretty conscious of being fairly bad at it myself, and actually the one that I think is harder than exercising, because exercising is a very conscious thing, you know, you kind of know when you're doing it, is the whole posture conversation. And there's various recommendations on chairs and setting up your screen the right way and desk height and things like that. But even with all that, you can still find yourself very easily slouching, or maybe even sitting too rigidly, and, you know, the kind of two extremes of how it's bad to sit. So do you have any kind of easy to follow recommendations for giving yourself good posture when at a desk?
If you're sitting at a desk, then you're going to have bad posture no matter who you are after a given period of time. So the best way to prevent this is to make sure that you have strong back muscles, and then you're naturally going to sit in a good posture for the first half an hour, 45 minutes. And that's why you need to get up and walk around and then return to that position. It gives your back a chance to rest. Me personally, I sit in a non-ergonomic way because it's very relaxing for me. That's one thing I have to work on. But it's something that if you're aware of it, you're going to be better about it. It's just a matter of getting your body in shape to the point where it's not something you need to think about. You can strengthen those back muscles and then you'll naturally sit up straight.
How do you recommend strengthening your back muscles?
So there's a couple different exercises you can do. Physical therapists recommend some that look very silly, but actually really focus on the muscles that that are weak in this case. So one example is you can stand against a wall with your head, your shoulder blades, your butt, and your heels all touching the wall. And you're going to relax your shoulder blades and then lift your arms up and pretend you're climbing an imaginary ladder. And this is going to strengthen some of those muscles in the upper back, which are usually weaker.
And the other one I got asked a few times, which I didn't really know an answer to, was preventing shoulder slouch, I think.
Like rolling your shoulders forward?
I guess. I'm not 100% sure what the question was, but I'm kind of always conscious that most people are not doing the right thing with their shoulders.
Yeah, I think oftentimes people roll their shoulders forward involuntarily.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually doing it right now. Now I look at myself.
So again, that involves there's a couple small muscles in your back. It's called the rotator cuff. There's very simple exercises you can do at the gym or at home. Something as simple as lifting, 1 pound or a half kilo worth of weight. You just extend your arm straight up, make sure your shoulder is dropped as much as possible, and you just lift your arm up with that weight. And over time, you'll strengthen that. You can do it at a couple different angles. So you can do it straight in front of you where you're lifting that arm, keeping your arm straight the entire time, or you can do it out to the side and do the same thing. And these are muscles that are often overlooked. It's something that most people that aren't, you know, very gym savvy, they're unaware of. Most people will go and focus on their chest, focus on maybe their legs or their butt, things that are very visible. These are the muscles that are actually going to like keep you healthy long term. So,
yeah, that's a very good point. Stuff that makes us look good, as opposed
stuff that makes us look good. That's what everyone. What does every guy want? They want, you know, the 6-pack abs. They want the big chests. But you know, the back's gotta support that. If you overwork your chest, it's just gonna pull your whole frame forward like a clam closing up.
You know, make me feel a lot better about my physical appearance. So the other, just coming back a little bit to the kind of desk setup. So do you feel that maybe you're the sort of ergonomic this and that that you can buy? Are they useful or are they a bit of a con? Or again, is it only useful if you're already in better shape?
I think that they're probably useful, but I can't say for certain. For me, the body is really good about telling you when it doesn't like something. So if you listen to your body, and this is a skill, listen to your body, develop that skill, and you'll know if something isn't right. And I think most people know you've been at the computer for, you know, 3 or 4 hours, maybe you start to get a headache, maybe your wrist starts to hurt. These are very good signs that you need to be changing position, that you need to be maybe standing up and taking a break. Most of us, we just push through it, and that's really not what we should be doing.
Do you want, is there a change needed in some corporate culture? I wonder if the West especially is really ever going to worry if someone gets up every hour or something. But are there some workplaces you've encountered or you know people who have worked in where it's just, it's weird how you said earlier how sometimes smokers are almost excused, but if you're not a smoker, it's like, why are you having a break? You know?
Yeah. And coming from America to here, it's very interesting to see how the work ethic changes, where people are, I think, more easygoing about how much time they're putting in. So even if you're working, let's say, 7 hours a day, I think in Europe, that time, the management knows that some of that time is spent just relaxing and kind of reassessing the situation. Whereas in the U.S., you're highly focused for that entire period of time, and it's very exhausting. There's a new corporation that I've heard about called a B Corp, as opposed to like a C Corp. A B Corp is focused on social and environmental problems. And it also, to get that certification, you have to have sustainability as part of your core work processes. So that's something that I think people are becoming more aware of. We've had a lot of unsustainable development and unsustainable requirements for workers. And I think a lot of workers are just realizing that this isn't something that I want in my life. Stress is a killer, and they're trying to avoid it now actively.
Yeah. It's interesting in terms of the work culture stuff. I've found that maybe, yes, people in Europe, and Europe is, of course, is a big place. Work cultures vary across the subcontinent. But I found that whilst generally maybe work is not quite as intense as in the US, it's also less open-minded sometimes about trying some of these things. Like, you see less standing desks and things like that, unless you're in particularly kind of
more startup posh world. Corporations, I think.
Say it again?
I would say more posh corporations.
Yeah.
Find those.
Sort of one thing I've noticed, like, even when I lived in Australia, like, it had a more American, British attitude to that and was more open to these things, where I've found sometimes, especially in Germany anyway, people are a lot more kind of, I will work my time. That is what I'm here for, you know, as well, a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's you know, everyone's
different. It's one reason I moved to Europe, because life, I think, is, you know, there's the quote from some movie, but, life moves fast. If you don't slow down, you'll miss it. Something like that. Yeah. The exact quote. But
so firstly, in relation to the bits of advice you've just mentioned, do you have a particular website or place with your advice, or can you recommend any other good resources that people should go and look for more information?
I'm sure that there are many resources available online via Google. I made my slides public on GitHub, github.com/Steve Tauber, T-A-U-B-E-R. And I have my slides there, and you can look at the pictures of the exercises. Some are just basic physical therapy exercises. And there's a million. If you search online, you can find images of how to do all these different back exercises.
And then more personally, anything interesting you're working on that you want to promote or plug or anything else?
Sure. I have a startup called Cuddly. It's spelled C-U-D-D-L-I. And we're on Android, and we're launching iOS very soon. And it's dating for geeks. We try to get people out in the real world as soon as possible. Instead of answering 100,000 questions and us trying to tell you who you like, we let you have all that power, and you get to decide who you like.
That actually ties very nicely into some of the other topics I've covered in the podcast about getting out and meeting strangers and things as well, for sort of mental health. Well, hopefully for mental health. Of course, it depends on the people you end up meeting. But
that's true. could be negative on the mental health.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, that sounds like a really interesting idea. I hope I won't need to use it anytime soon.
But, we actually support married couples as well, or long-term couples. part of the date cycle is finding out where am I going to go? And that's what we do. We provide you a list of venues and cool dates.
Yeah.
Even if you're in a long-term relationship where we are the app for you.
I think that's a good point to end the conversation on. So thanks for joining me, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, my name is Martin Tillerf, and I've been an independent developer for the longest time now. And I do iOS apps. I develop for the iPhone and the Mac platforms. And I've been working on a lot of different books and articles. That's writing is also something that I do a lot. I think that's fair to say, yeah.
Yeah, I think that seems reasonable. That's okay. There's no judgment here. It's okay. MDevCon last week, I saw Marin speak along similar lines, although his topics were more about improving yourself. I guess I was maybe talking about how to get yourself fitter and healthier in the first place, and then I think you were talking more about how to improve yourself in terms of career, but also mentally and physically as well. I guess two sides of the same coin. So yeah, why did you want to talk about that subject?
Well, because in a way, first of all, because I really hate seeing people just running towards a wall, end up in a hospital with a burnout, and just because we programmers tend to get so focused and so obsessed with chasing the zone and writing code that we just forget that we are not actually machines and we are just people. So the reason I wanted to do this talk was to try to give a sense to the people that it really is not just only about work. It's about striking the right balance between your work and your own well-being. And that will actually, striking the right balance will actually improve not only your life, but also your work. So in a way, sometimes working less is actually yielding more and better results.
And what did anything happen to you that brought you to this point of wanting to help others? If you feel free to talk about that, of course.
Yeah. Well, many, many things happened. A lot of life happened, actually. The whole life happened to me until I got to this point to actually be able to, like, look at everything in this specific way. But I think that I've been programming for oh my god, give me a second here, 24 years, is it now? Yeah, it's about 24 years. And in this long, very long time, I ended up with a lot of different, like, I don't know, wrist pains and back curves and I don't know what, all this kind of things. And something that I spoke about openly in last year in a few conferences is how I ended up actually in the hospital because of a rejection email from Apple's app review team. I just didn't take it very well. Very well. And then ended up being hurdled in an ambulance to a hospital in Berlin. So at this point, I was thinking, like, really, like, is this really worth it? Like, to end up like this, in a foreign country with people speaking German around you, and like you're totally, literally, okay, not literally, but figuratively shitting your pants. So I started doing more, you know, physical activity and, you know, cooking and all these things that I speak about in my talk. And I really feel much better. And I can notice that my work is actually also getting better too, because I have an inner balance, I feel like much better.
I guess, do you feel that, so in this period where you've tried to improve that work-life balance, have you always been working for yourself or for a company?
There was one year where I worked full time at a company as a contractor, and most of the other time I've been working at home. or on site on a short contract. Yeah.
Do you think there's an extra challenge to kind of getting that work-life balance if you are working for a company? I mean, of course, there's a lot of companies now that acknowledge these things, but there's still a lot that don't as well.
Yeah, I can imagine that it's actually harder to find the time if you need to commute, especially if you need to commute an hour to the office and an hour back, and you got to take an hour for lunch break just to find the time. But this is one of the this is the specific reason that I put a special, you know, like a special highlight on finding time for yourself and for your own well-being in my talk. Because this basically these excuses people would find to not take care of themselves. But yeah, I agree with you. This is it's a little bit more difficult if you're working in an office. In last year's talk that was called "What's in it for us after the indie apocalypse is over," you can look it up on the YouTube. I think it's a funny talk, and it's basically about indie developers and everything, but it ends with a twist that just says, you know, like, in the end you can also get hired. It's not really a problem, because in the present day, you know, companies provide so many things in the office, like, I don't know, organic beef, craft beer, massages and things like this. So if you find the right company, it could also feel pretty amazing to work for them. Besides actually, you know, doing great work.
I guess that's a good point that I've liked to suggest to some people who are not happy where they're working is, at the moment, we have the luxury as developers of, or people working in related fields to developers as well, development, that it's not too hard to find new work. So if someone doesn't, I think that's always been my one piece of advice, really, in terms of improving your lifestyle around your work, is it's not too hard to change. Some people have bigger responsibilities than others, of course, which you have to worry about. But, you know, taking the plunge is never as scary as it initially seems. And, you know, we also know that no matter how many times people will tell you that, it still takes you to reach that conclusion. But, yeah, I think it's a good piece of advice to give, is that if you do feel that there's unnecessary stress and pressure on you in a workplace, don't feel unconfident about taking the plunge out.
Oh yeah. This is. I've been going to a lot of events, especially in the last couple of years, and it is sad how many people I meet that actually share a story when they end up in a hospital because of their work. And this is not, you know, this is not a, you know, high risk professions, like, I don't know, a crocodile timer or something. It's just sitting in the office. So it is sad to see how many people do experience that, do end up in the hospital because of that.
What's your favorite? I like to be practically minded. What's your favorite three kind of bits of advice that you would give to people wanting to attain a better work-life balance and a better them, a better developer?
Okay, that's a great question. I guess you noticed from my presentation that I also like to provide action points for people so that they can actually follow up on the talk if they download the slides. Well, I think that the most important thing is something that I learned from Tim Ferriss's books, from the 4-Hour Week and 4-Hour Chef, which is basically to, you know, trying to implement habits in your life that are sustainable, that is a substantial change to your daily routine, rarely works. So if you have never ran, and if you would like to start running every day for 1 hour, this is probably nothing that you would be able physically or mentally to follow through. So what I learned from his book is that you should aim for the smallest possible changes to your, you know, daily routine that would yield the best results, the most change to your well-being. So don't aim for running every day for an hour, but I'm running, I don't know, 15 minutes every 3 days or so. This is something that you could actually follow through on. And it's not such a substantial time hog that running every day for an hour would be. Or do a 5-minute exercise a day. There is this intensive 5-minute exercise that you can take. And this is literally 5 minutes a day. So this is something that you can actually implement without having your daily routine change too much. Or subscribe to one well-being blog there is. So you will read, I don't know, 3 articles a week, which is in total maybe 20 minutes a week. This is something that it's... that you can follow through on.
Yeah. One interesting thought that came into my mind whilst I was kind of putting the presentation that I had into a blog post instead was, do you feel sort of going slightly at an angle, but that there's this kind of split desire from fields, especially of developers. I guess maybe firstly it's the one industry I know best. Maybe other industries are just the same, but also that we sometimes tend to be people who like to follow trends really hard sometimes. That there's this sort of split camp between, oh my God, I must be busy. Busyness is a sign of importance, of talent, of desirability. And then the other camp, of course, there's a lot of people in the middle, but let's just talk at extremes for now, that want to go for this ultimate work-life balance. And in some respects, sometimes go on about that so much that that it feels like this kind of replacing one obsession with another. And I guess one is better for you, but do you wonder if sometimes we are... Is there such a thing as pushing too much for a work-life balance? Are we spoiling other things by doing it, or is that not possible? I don't know. I'm not even entirely sure if this is a real question, but it's just something I was thinking about.
Okay. Well, what I do feel is that I noticed that lately there's this cult to productivity that really drives us mad, because I think that when people see that there is every day there is a new productivity tool released or a new productivity blog post coming in their feed or you know all this noise that is made around productivity, that's subconsciously you have the feeling that if everyone's trying to be more productive, then you probably are not productive enough as well in a way. I think this is same like with the, I think it's the same subliminal message as with movies and cigarettes. Like when you go to every movie and then when the good guys kill the bad guys, they have a cigarette, and you're thinking, also if I'm a good guy, then I should be also smoking. So when you see the whole internet buzzing around productivity, you're like, oh yeah, I should also be more productive.
Yeah, actually, that's a better way of putting it. And there's just two camps in productivity, one taking it to the extreme of fitting in as much as possible,
yeah,
quantity, and one camp wanting to fit quality, I suppose, casting no judgment on which is better or worse, but yeah.
I'm by no means working little, like, or how do you put it in English, like working... I'm actually working a lot.
Yeah, but do you enjoy your work, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. Like today I struck like a 3-hour session in the morning working on an open source project, which I do it for the pure joy of it. So this is actually, it's not heavy on my shoulders. I feel like pretty good about it. And now after this talk, I'm going to go switch to working mode and probably turn in at a... I don't know, 3-4 hours of actual work that I get paid for. And in the end, I know, like I end up with almost the same amount of hours that people in the office will do, with that difference that I had a pretty good lunch that I did myself in the kitchen. And I had it on the balcony, so I feel pretty good about it.
Just following up from that last point, I've sometimes wondered, and forgive me if it's a personal question. I don't know, feel like it is, but forgive me if it is. Do you have a family or children? Or
No, I'm engaged, and we're looking forward to having kids hopefully soon.
Yeah, so I've sometimes wondered this, that people like you and I at the moment have kind of a luxury of some extra time that we have to we have free to fill with what we want to fill it with. And for a lot of people, children especially, can fill up a lot of that time. And it can be a stressful time, it can be a rewarding time. That's how that is. And I sometimes wonder that, like you, I enjoy what I do. I'm now at that luxurious point where I can basically pick things I want to work on. And for the most part, I don't work on things I don't want to work on. And I work on what I enjoy. So often working, in inverted commas, doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like a chore. It doesn't feel like, oh my God, I've got to go to this crappy office for 8 hours and do some bunch of crap it doesn't feel like that. But I still wonder sometimes if because of that, because we enjoy a lot of what we do, and to us it's almost like our children, it's just our open source projects, our blog posts, there's things we want to work on. Is there still a danger of working too much, even though you feel like you're working on something you like, so it doesn't feel like work, but you still are working too much, if you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, that's a... here we are in total agreement. Since many programmers have their work and their hobby being basically the same thing, just in different repo.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah. there's always the possibility to actually work yourself to a situation in which you can't do either, which is of course sad. That's one of the reasons that I did this talk that you saw at MDEFCON, and then actually I did it again on Sunday in a international conference in Portugal. So that's why I think that doing non-technical things is really important, just to get you away from the keyboard, give you a sense of, basically bring you back in touch with reality, in a sense. I think it's very important to,
It's a point that I've brought up in my own presentation about screen breaks, going for a walk, talking to strangers, going out for lunch. Like I find in Europe it's not – well, the companies I've worked for in Europe it's not so bad. But in other places I've worked, going out for lunch seems to be like this crazy thing to do. And you'd have to almost force people to do it sometimes.
Yeah, luckily I've never worked in such a place.
yeah, it's in England and Australia I found it far worse than in Europe, but maybe just, especially in England, maybe just food wasn't very good. So
also quite expensive, as I hear.
I don't know, I've not lived there for a while, so it's prices have changed, but yeah, it's just something like that, even half an hour break is better than nothing, It doesn't, as you say, it doesn't take much. People seem to associate lifestyle changes with big seismic shifts. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. It can be small things, and you're more likely to stick to them as well. I think that's a good take-home point.
Yeah, I was very lucky to work for Monster Technologies, monster.com in Prague, and I think the office there was simply amazing because besides the relax and the kitchen areas, there was also showers. So when people went for a quick workout at lunch, basically for the lunch break, there was a homes place just on the other side of the square. So people would just go there, work out, then come back, have a shower, get a new set of clothes and just go to their desk totally refreshed. That was simply great.
Yeah, that's something I'm still trying to do. I'm not necessarily going out for workout, but I think where we live in Berlin, there's definitely opportunity to maybe go and do yoga at lunchtime. That's something I think I'm going to, once my wife's better, We've been talking about doing it for ages. I think it's time to actually do it.
Oh yeah, doing it with your wife, like going together for yoga or you know, doing anything together is really the best.
It's more just self mutual pressure as well to actually do it. I think.
Also, yeah,
it's probably the more practical thing there, but. Okay, so just in wrap up, tell people what you're working on next. What are you working on at the moment? What's the next project that's going live or being released? Or
well, next month I'm speaking at App Builders. So if anyone is really interested in this talk that we've been talking about, I'm going to do it one more time next month in Zurich, and the conference is called AppBuilders.ch. So if anyone wants to catch this talk, that's the way to go. And I'm working on a couple of things. I'm doing some secret things for Realm that are still not announced, and an open source project with RxSwift which I really love. So I'm really into reactive programming now. There's many things. I'm not selling anything right now. I'm just feeling relaxed and happy.
That's fine. It's more of an American question sometimes. What are you selling?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and sometimes I am, but right now I don't feel the pressure to push anything. So yeah. So whoever wants to catch me next month in Zurich and also in Warsaw at MCE3, if anyone wants to visit Warsaw, see me live. That's a good place to be.
Thanks, Baron, for your time, and you can find more details about Marion on underplot.com. And enjoy your afternoon in...
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you for inviting me.